Hi, my name is Ryan Fogelsong. I am a bass player, and I have been coming to these Worship God conferences since 2010, and I've been teaching since 2011. How many have come to a Worship God conference before? Wonderful. How many for 2 years or more? 3 years? 4 years? 5 years? The faith ones. Excellent. And how many, I'm assuming you're all bass players, but show of hands, who are all bass players? Who's not a bass player? Thanks for coming. let me just tell you a little bit about myself. I play bass, for a band called Enfield, and we were invited to come to the Worship God Conference in 2010, and it was just an amazing experience. I'd never been to a conference like that before. I went to youth conferences, but none directed at the worship of God and all the practical tools that you get to take home and use on a given week. So it's been a blast. I'm here with my good friend David Zimmer, who's also in Enfield. He's teaching the drum technique classes, and then Patrick Anderson is teaching the guitar. He was also in Enfield. I'd like to start out in prayer, but then afterwards, I want you to be thinking about different things that you would like answered today about bass, because I have an outline that we could go through, but I just want to make this extremely practical. I want you to be able to take home things that you'd be able to use right away. So be thinking on that, and then we'll dive right in. I'll pray for us. Heavenly Father, you are good. It's so refreshing to be here with your people in worship and song and in fellowship and in the study of your word. Thank you for the excellent messages we've heard already. Thank you for speaking through the speakers and Lord, giving us a deeper knowledge of your nature. And I pray that you would cause that wisdom and information to well up inside of us, and that we would respond in a lifestyle of worship, that we would be living sacrifices for you, that we would love each other, and that we would love you. Father, I pray that through today in our seminar, that you would just guide our conversations, guide these lessons and techniques, and just allow our time together to be fruitful. Let us have laughs and have joy, and just give us a great time. We love you, Father. We love your Son. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, in your name we pray. Amen. Good. Okay. So did everyone get a songbook? And there should be a bass packet and an outline. So there's the holy bass trinity of packets. Did we get those? Okay. Good. So I'll be going loosely through the outline. That packet, I won't go into too much depth, but the majority of our time will be spent in those diagrams in the back. And then a lot of the songs that we'll be doing will be referenced in the song packet. So I love for these times that we're together to be conversational. So any questions that you have right off the bat, something that you want to take away in our short time together today? Yes. Yes.
The quickest way I know is to be playing the numbers and not the notes. Mm-hmm. Explain that again.
I certainly can. Yes. So if we're in D and someone got sick that morning, they need to play it and see how we go through? Sure, I'd love to do that. Good. We'll hit on transposition. Anything else? Yes, sir.
I'm actually an acoustic guitar player.
Wonderful.
Very much a beginner bass player.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I can answer that. I would go 4-string to start out. If it's brand new to you and you've never played with a 4-string before, maybe go for the 5. We're just adding an extra low string. The 4-string is half of the, well, not, it's 4/6, 2/3 of the guitar, right? So we have E, A, D, G. So the toughest part would be if you're following the guitar player and he's playing on the E string, you would just have to kind of think and transpose down a 4th and play on the low B string. But I would stick with the 4 string. Yeah, good. Yes.
I would love
like to learn more things to do besides the root and the fifth.
Ooh.
I'm good with rhythm. Oh. I'm good with notes. I know theory.
Okay.
But like, I know that there's fills, and my brain doesn't tell me what notes they are.
Beautiful. We will definitely hit on that.
Excellent.
Okay. Awesome. Great. So let's start with the outline. And a lot of it, I'm going to be using terms today, and I just want to establish a couple of terms that work over a lot of the principles that we'll be doing. When I talk about intervals, is that a foreign concept, or does anyone have like a rough idea, or no? Raise your hand if it's, yes, a rough idea. Okay, rough idea. So we'll touch on that. Have you guys heard the term diatonic before? Diatonic means centered around a key center. I want to hit on theory, but only if it's extremely practical. So let me throw up a couple terms up here. So major, minor. We know the difference between those, at least in our ears if I play. That's what? Minor. How many notes are different between those two? One note. Okay, great. We'll talk about that in a second, especially as it pertains to roots, thirds, and fifths. Diatonic. It means centered around the major scale. So when I play something like this, you want to hear that, right? That's where your guide is. If I play, we want to hear, right? Okay, good. So we're going to be labeling sounds that our ears are already telling us what is correct. So, and theory is just a way to communicate better. It's a way to have expediency on stage when we're talking. When Devin says, you know, in the last course we're gonna modulate to the key of D, and we're gonna use the dominant to get there. Does anyone know what the dominant means? Okay. For those of you who don't, we're gonna be talking about a number system today. There's actually two number systems in music. One has Roman numerals. Excuse me. And the other one has numbers. So when you see something like C major 7, that's something a little bit different than that is. Okay? Those refer to chords that are in a specific key. This is key centered. Then we take the magnifying glass in, and then we look at each one of those chords, and that's how we get these numbers. Is that foreign, or did you guys know that? Okay. Great. So in music, I'll be referring to sometimes the tonic, which is 1, or dominant, which is 5. Good. We're just establishing a vocabulary here. Okay. The construction of the instrument. It's tuned in fourths. Fourths refer to the intervals away from a single note. So it's distance between notes. If I play G, C is a fourth away from G. It's right underneath. In ear training in college, I remember we had to identify each of those intervals by a familiar tune. So it's the wedding song, right? That's a fourth. A fifth would be that. And I always remember that by that's the beginning of the Star Wars theme, right? That's a fifth, and then a fourth would be, okay? So a fourth, E to A, that's 4 notes away in the major scale. So E, 1, 2, 3, 4, okay? So that's important for us to know, especially if you, who here plays a 5-string or 6-string? No, okay. So B to E, that's the interval of a fourth. One, two, three, four. Okay, good. Let's look at, this is number two in the construction of the instrument, the 5-fret down rule. We'll just cover this really quickly. I remember, who remember getting their bass and someone told them, hey, you can tune from the 5th fret, play that note, and then play the next string open.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So the principle there is 5 notes away on the string underneath, you'll find the same note. So that's a great way to identify notes on your bass guitar. Let's say, let me just kind of pick a random note. That note. If I go to the string above and I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I'm going to find the same note. Okay? Right? I can kind of keep going up. I count 5 notes away. And then the other principle of your bass guitar is you go over two frets, and you go down 2 strings, and you'll find the octave, right? So let's take G, for example. I have a G here. I go over 2, I go down 2, and I have a G. I know that G here is also open. Then I have a G here, because I counted 5 over. I go down my octave rule, I have a G here. I can start here and I go up an octave. I have it there. I can count and go over 5. I have a G there. G there. A lot of times, we as bass players will be playing. Maybe we'll be getting up high and then we sort of get lost in here, right? We're getting into our lick. And I know I have to hit a C, but the only C I know of is down there, right? So I can either, you know, reach all the way down, but I know I could also get it there. Or get it there, or get it there, or there. So a great way to practice that, this is just a practicing tool. We did this a little bit yesterday with our bass master class. But set a metronome for yourself. Let me mute all of these real quick. And just take a note like G. 2, 3. And it can be random. Go back down to the one you know. That make sense? And if you can do that, the ideal would be take every available note. How many notes do we have? There's 12, right? There's 12 keys. So we have, we can start from C. C, then we have, let's do the circle of fifths. So we have C, G, D, A, E, B, F sharp, C sharp, G sharp, D sharp, E sharp, also known as B flat, and then we have F, then we're back to C. So there's 12 notes. How many months do we have in a year? 12. So if you can take a note a month in your practice time, eventually you'll get to have the whole neck, and that's just taking one note at a time. Eventually we can kind of put them all together, but I find that that's just a practical way. If you can find more time, take 2 notes a month, or take notes that are in a particular key. So if you want to take the key of C, key of C has a collection of notes. C, D, E, F, G, A, B. Okay? So you can go through that way. Take the 7 notes of the scale of that particular key, and you'll never get lost. Cool. Does that make sense, everybody? Okay, and I always suggest play with the metronome. That's going to build your internal clock, all right? Okay, so any questions on how the bass is constructed? I had someone asking me yesterday about harmonics. So Does anyone know what harmonics are? We're essentially cutting our guitar in half once we get up to the 12th fret. That's why we have the double lats there. So if I play E here, I have E, A, D, D, G, G. So you know at the very least, if you want to add a new note, you just go up to the 12th octave and you'll find that same note up an octave, okay? So that cuts the guitar in half. We cut it in half one more time when we go down to the 5th fret. So we have this G, an octave higher than that, okay? So G, D, A, E, B. Okay? Sometimes those are helpful. I'll use those in swell. Moments like that. I have a delay pedal on. So those are harmonics. All right, let's dive into roles. So the first role of the bass player is to establish the chord. All right. I was joking yesterday. I played with worship leaders that just kind of say, you know, just follow me. When I go, are we going to go to the outro or the intro here? And they go, yeah, don't worry about it. And then I say back, well, I'm defining the chord. So if I play, you're going to sound wrong. And it's the funniest thing. Guitar players can cheat, can't they? Right? They can play this for the entire song. And just be heroes, right? If it works in the key, that's fine, but the bass player's establishing where those notes are coming from. We were also saying yesterday, this sounds like, this is a G major, right? So I can play. Now those same two notes, if I play a lower note, it's no longer G, it's an E minor chord. If I play an A, it's an A minor 7 add 9. Is that interesting? So two notes by themselves, G major. Definitely G major. But whatever the bass plays, E minor, A minor, C major 7, G over D, G over B. Getting out a little bit. Jazz chords. So the root defines the chord. Whenever you see a chart, and whatever note it says, that's your defining role. We didn't get into this yesterday, but is everyone familiar with inversions? You might not know what they're called, but it's whenever you encounter that. Okay. So some people think, well, is it a G chord and also a B chord at the same time? Or is it some kind of conglomeration? This is telling you that in the spectrum of musical range, a lot of the high parts and middle parts will be playing G, but they want the emphasis on the low end to be B. So whether that's the piano player playing with their left hand down low, that's a G over B. And it sounds different from a G. So there's G. Has a different shade, doesn't it? It's pulling somewhere. It could either pull down or it could pull up. What's the chord that we usually see after this? D? Yeah, sometimes we'll see D. A lot of times we'll see C. Yeah, C. Or sometimes we're traveling down, so we might find A minor. But it's usually a way for whoever arranged the chord chart to give movement where there's a static chord change. Does that make sense? So you might see G over B, still a G chord, then C, right? But it's still a G. So That's the root. The fifth supports. We got into keys yesterday. The nice thing about the fifth is it works for almost every chord, except for one. Does anyone know which chord the fifth has to change on? The seventh, right? So C's fifth. You could almost do it like this. We can count over. C's fifth is G. D's fifth is A. E's fifth is B. And we can kind of keep going there. If we're looking at our bass, root, fifth, root, fifth, root, fifth, root, fifth, root. Seventh, we have to change. We have to do what to that fifth? We have to flatten it just by nature of the key that we're in. And then we're back to C. Right? Good. As bass players, because we're the low end and we're establishing chords, we also tend to think build from the bottom. So a lot of times we have the misconception that all my fill notes, whether it's a third or a fifth or a fourth, it always has to be above. But that's not necessarily the case. We also have a fifth available to us right above the root. Right? So if I'm playing the C, is anyone hearing that rattling?
Yeah.
Okay. It's my ADD acting up. Sorry.
Squirrel.
Not any better. Okay. So C there, the fifth is there. Because if I use my octave rule, same note, C, fifth, C. So those of you who have been in country bands already know the secret. You could also do. Right? Fifth is right there. Okay? A good way to practice that, again, go through all your keys or the five most common keys in worship music that spell the word caged, right? Patrick Anderson actually has a great theory curriculum on guitar that's called the cage theory that gets guitar players to cheat with capos. We don't have capos, do we? So we have fifth there, fifth. Make sense? Good. Okay, so that's our fifth. You can do a lot with a fifth. The fifth supports. It doesn't tell you whether it's major or minor, does it? If I play that, it's ambiguous. It could just as easily be, let me go to G. There's a fifth. I'm going to add one note to it. I'm going to add a different note to it. I'm going to add a different note. That one's ambiguous. How about... Okay, so we have a fifth. It does nothing but support, all right? But it also can become a pivot in our fills. You can do a lot. Let me bring up a drum track here. I'm just going to be going from G to C. Let me get that timing right. Apologize for that. Scoot over. There we go. C.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool? Just one note, just using that fifth. It's always safe because it's going to work. That could have just been G minor to C minor, right? I'm not giving away any third. So the third is what defines the quality, okay? If you look in your packets, let me find that here. That's going to be on your, for me it's page 8, but it's the second page of the diagrams, where it says major triads at the top. And it gives you a couple different positions. So you can see all these examples are in G. We have G as the root, then we have the fifth, and then we have the third, okay? The third is always going to be down from down a string from the root, right underneath, and then over one. Root, third, fifth. So the third adds a little bit of complexity to our baseline because we have to know whether that chord is major or minor. So you're going to have to follow along on your chart, and you have one more place to look. Is it going to have a little M next to it? Or for some of you, maybe a little minus sign, or not at all. So if we have G major, that third is going to fall right there. String underneath and over one. Okay. And if you look on the page, the next one, you'll see, I'm sorry, the next page where it says minor triads, you're going to see that that third just moves over a half step. Half step meaning one fret below. So we have G major, and we have G minor. Right? Okay. Let's talk about the two different positions that we have. First position is always from your first finger. We have three different positions primarily with bass guitar. First position is going to start out with our first finger, and we can reach that root, third, fifth, there. The first position is advantageous because it gets us up the neck a little bit. Second position keeps us nice and static. So second position starts with the second finger. I'm still going to play those same three notes, root, third, fifth, root, third, fifth, first position, same three notes, okay? And then the last position, it's not here, but it's fourth position. You start with your pinky finger or your fourth finger. So not exactly helpful for down here, but let's say you're on C. And when we start to add pentatonic scales to this, that's where that's going to come in helpful. There's notes that you can get to easier here that don't require sliding that you would need to do with first position. That's a lot quicker than it is here. So again, what I would do is take each of your chords of the key, or again, go back to a note a month, and practice all the different ways that you can play those, the root, third, and fifth. So if it's C, find all your positions where we have a C. Second position. Right? Second position. First position now, same thing. Back to C. Okay, so that's second position, first position. Again, you can get a lot of mileage with bass fills just out of that third and fifth. Let's go back to our drum beat here. G to C. Thank you. First position. Right? It's a pretty full bass line, just using that. There's a couple times when I went out and used the pentatonic scale, but primarily it's just root, third, and fifth. You're giving away the quality of the chord, whether it's major or minor, and then you're supporting it with a fifth. Okay, so if you look over one more time to the next page, we have minor triads. Kind of the same thing. I rarely ever use the second position unless I'm up higher. I almost always use the first position. Okay, so let's say, again, we're on G. We're making it minor now. Root, third, fifth, third, root, third, fifth, octave. Okay. If I go to second position, it's a little bit more of a stretch. Definitely doable, but if you're going for ease, play on the same string. Does that make sense, everybody? Okay, good. Any questions on triads at all? Pertaining to bass lines or chords? Pretty easy? Okay, excellent. Let's move to pentatonic scales. Great. This is the meat and potatoes of a lot of the fills that I'll do. Pentatonic, penta means five, right? So we're adding two more notes to our chord here. Let's take G again. I'm gonna erase a couple of these. G, bless you. We have root, third, fifth, okay, supports, defines quality. And then root, the note, the tonic, okay? Okay, so we are adding, let's go over to the page that says major triads at the bottom. The last two diagrams will have the pentatonic scale on them. Good. So with pentatonic scales, we're adding, here's my third, fifth octave, what I've established before, root, third, fifth, octave. I'm adding that note, the second. There's my third, there's my fifth. The sixth, and then I'm back at the octave again. Okay? And then on the paper, I actually give you the extension to the other octave. But if you were to practice these right off the bat, just go with the one octave, G to G. And whenever it comes to filling, when is a good time to fill? What's that? When there's nothing else going on, especially when it pertains to worship music, what's the focus of our songs? The lyrics, right? So I always find it helpful for a lot of the charts to have a lead sheet because there is already, you can see where the break in the melody is or where a note is held out. The more familiar you become with the songs, the chords over words are fine too. But what we'll also do, especially in the band that I'm in Enfield, is we'll assign fill roles to each part of the song. So verse one will be maybe no fills. We're just establishing the melody. Verse two, we'll have guitar fill. Verse three, that's more of like a drum and bass groove verse. So maybe Dave will take the first fill after the first line. I'll take the second fill after the second line, and so on and so forth. So, again, there's our pentatonic scale, and there's our octave. So let's look at that diagram again. You'll notice that I put down the finger positions. So that's what those 1-3-3, 1-3-1-3. This is almost primarily a index and ring finger scale. You can get up to your pinky if you want. Okay? Good. Any questions on the major pentatonic scale? Good. I also added a little B that indicates the blues note, okay? So when you get that bluesy song, for me, I kind of picture Come Praise and Glorify whenever we do that. It has kind of a little bit of a bluesy edge to it. It has that flat 7 kind of thrown in there. So this would be that would be the song that I would throw in this note. And there's lots of different blues scales, but this one is a major scale that's bluesy. We're throwing in that note. Right? Okay. So that's our major pentatonic scale. If you go over to the minor side, I built a minor pentatonic scale for you. It has also has two notes added. They're different notes than the major scale. So if I was to play, here's my root, third, fifth octave, I'm adding the fourth, adding the seventh, and then I'm back to one. One big mistake that I always see bass players make is playing a minor pentatonic scale over a major chord, and it ends up, it just sort of works, because we have a tradition of using, in blues music, of kind of interchanging those minor scales and major scales over one another. So it sends the harmony in a different direction that we might not want to go to. And the nice thing with pentatonic scales is, how many major chords do we have in a key? We have 3, the 1, the 4, and the 5. So if we're thinking key of C, that'd be the C chord, F major, G major. Let me just go in here and add my little M's here for minor. And then our left out friend over here. Okay, half diminished or flat 5, B minor 7, flat 5. Poor guy almost never gets played, unless you're in Mexico or in a Latin country, then it gets a lot of use, okay? So we have 3 major chords in a key, 3 minor chords, and the beauty about the pentatonic scale is that same pattern works for each one of those, okay? You just shift. So if it's G major, let's go back to C. If it's C major, if it's F major, G major, it's awesome. You don't have to necessarily think about the notes involved, because you know every time that pattern is going to work. That makes sense? Great. So let me just give an example of that. Okay, and realize that when I'm playing this, I'm going to overplay, so you can kind of hear the fills and those notes going into one another. Never do this, ever, in a worship song. Unless you're in Phish. 3, 4. A lot of notes. But you'll notice I was kind of going back and forth. I was finding those G's and C's in different places. If I find myself up here, I'm not always having to get down to that C. I know that I have a C here and here. I have my G here and here and here. So those are your major pentatonic scales and your minor pentatonic scales. Any questions on those? Yes. Yes, I will. Let me get out of G and C. I'm bored with that. Let's do A minor to D minor. Cool. All right. So those are those two. And again, play the right pentatonic scale for the chord that you're in. Okay. So if you look there, you can see the two additional notes added to the triad, root, third, fifth for major. Just a theoretical knowledge to have. You're adding the second and the sixth. And for minor, you're adding the fourth and the seventh. Okay. Major pentatonic works for any major chord in the key, whether it's the one chord, the four chord, the five chord. It works on the flat 7 chord when we start to break rules. Anyone get a chart in the key of G and you see an F in there? F sounds really cool, right? It's out of the key. Sounds cool because it's out of the key. Because what do we normally have in the key of G? What sort of F do we have? F sharp. So when we break that rule, we go to that. My old guitar teacher used to call it the Beatles chord. That flat 7 because G is 1. F is that flat 7. It'll work over that. It'll work over a flat 6 chord if you're in the key of G. Let's see, what were we doing today? Holy, holy, holy. Wasn't that a cool chord progression that Devin came up with? So he was doing, let's see if I can remember. So he was doing D major, D augmented. That was beautiful. And it goes to G major, and then G minor, B flat, C, D, right? Cool. So over that B flat, that's major. Over that C, if we had all that time, those would be the note choices that you could use in those. Yes, Chris.
I think you use that F outside of the chord in Jesus Shall Reign, right? Because you did that arrangement.
Yes. Is it in the verse?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. The very end. Oh, yeah, yeah. So actually, we do it in D.
Yes, right.
And so the flat 7 would be C.
C, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great way. Who here is an arranger, composer? When you're a composer? A flat 7 is a great way to maintain a lot of the notes that are already in the key but provide a different bass note. The flat 7 is often substituted for a 5 or often is right before the 5 chord. I'm trying to think of... So in that case, it comes right before the 5 chord. Good. So it works over any major chord that you could have in a key, okay? When we start to get into modes, that's what's next. We enter kind of a new level of complexity there, okay? Who here is scared of modes? who's never heard of them? Who has heard of them? Okay, great. So modes, they have all these ancient Greek names, Ionian, Dorian, Mixolydian, Lydian, Locrian, Have you guys heard that? Who took, okay, music. So yes, they all had those different terms. Here's a great way to think about it. It's just the key. It's just the key that you're playing in, okay? It just happens to start in one place and end in a different place, which gives them a unique sound. So whereas with the pentatonic scales, we have one major pentatonic and one minor pentatonic. There's only two scales involved with those. When we get into modes, we're going to have seven because there's a unique scale per chord, okay? So let's take the key of D for key of C, for example. Okay? I won't bore you with all the Greek names. Know that the major ones are going to sound similar, but there's going to be two additional notes and modes that make it sound different. Okay? Let me give you an example. When you first picked up your bass and you grabbed a book on how to play, it probably gave you the C major scale. Right? Good. If I'm on the F chord and I want to fill and I want to use all seven of my notes, not just the five and the pentatonic, this isn't going to work. Because in F, I find a B flat. Is there a B flat in the key of C? No, there's a C, so I have to make an adjustment. I have to go. Doesn't sound complete, does it? Because we're diatonic. You eventually want to hear this. Bum, bum, bum. Right? Good. Same thing with G. If I try to play that, it sounds like I'm in G, but I'm in C, so I have to make that adjustment. Where in the G major scale, I have an F sharp, I have to change that F sharp to a normal F. Right? Good. So, and then if I use those unique notes in that chord, or if someone's playing them, that's how we get those very cool dark textures that, you know, you hear when you hear, has that sharp fourth in it. It's beautiful. But it's not restful, is it? That's what, who's taken a movie scoring class? Anybody? Okay, so they talked about Lydian? Okay, so if you want to move a scene along and you want to end on one, you're moving the scene along. Girl hasn't gotten the guy yet. The guy hasn't gotten the girl. Right? It's an unsettled thing. But when it's over the four chord, it's going to be beautiful. And I know I'm playing chords, but just know if I was to single these out as bass notes, they would work within the key. So here I am on C. I go to F. So those are those notes heard together, but when you're playing them, there's our pentatonic. Now I'm going to add those special notes. Right? And if you have a good handle of the key, what's in the key, you'll be able to play these. You just have to know that if you start on F, I'm just going to include all those notes. Okay? So an F, the four chord mode in this key is just going to look a little bit different. I'm playing all the notes in the key of C. G. A. B. Back to C. Does that make sense? Okay. So, if you're approaching a bass line, approach it first in terms of roots, thirds, and fifths to get your bearings. And then add pentatonic scale. you know that it's always going to work over every quality chord in that key. But if you want to take one step further, get into modes. So you'll see on the top of page 2, in diatonic music, modes are born out of the 7, 1 through 7, notes in the key center. So this is starting from G, in G to G major, there's your scale. There's the 7 notes. G, A, B, C, D, E, F sharp, G. A to A in the G major scale, you're just using all those same notes, but you're starting from A and ending on A, and thus you have a mode born, okay? C to C in G major, it's called the Lydian mode. Again, you're taking all the notes from G major, you're just starting from C and ending on C. That's how we get those, okay? Does anyone have any questions about modes? Yes?
Okay, so when you're playing a song.
Yes. No.
Just chord to chord.
Yeah. So I'm jamming along in C, and we get to the 4 chord. I'm going to be pulling from that F Lydian mode. Yes. Which is just those notes, but I'm going to start from F. So an F Lydian mode would just be F, G, A, B, C, D, E, F. Yeah. Good. Any other questions on modes? Yes.
So when you're
playing
a song and you do that, you don't think that you're
No. No, it's a good practical tool to start out because you're learning the pattern. And you're going, okay, I'm on the 2 chord. This is the Dorian mode. But after a while, you just recognize those as, oh, that's just the G scale. I'm just starting from A. So it's a starting place. Let me say that. Yeah. Good. Anyone thoroughly confused? I see some blank stares. Not a lot. A lot of smiles. Yes?
And does this explain, or can you explain Revelation Song in light of
sure.
the mode?
Yeah.
I think that's what we're
doing. Yeah, yeah. On Revelation Song? Yeah, what key is it in?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Let's remember the chord progression. D okay? Is that what you guys are doing? Okay. Dun 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 dun. Dun 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 dun. Dun 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 dun. Right? Okay. I love that you asked that question. I'm a theory nut, okay? So I went to school for theory, music theory and composition. Any other composition majors here? Air 5. Okay. So we would call this modal modulation, friends, okay? Let's say it's in the key of D. It always sounds like when you get to D, it's like you're arriving, right? Somewhat. You guys, go ahead and sing along with me. 3, 4. Holy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So this is called modal modulation. Let's write the key of D up here. D, E minor, F sharp minor, G, A, B minor, C sharp, minor 7, flat 5. Good, and then we're back to D. Let's label these as, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I remember when I first started playing bass, I wanted to know more notes than I was given chords in the key, right? Let's say Grace Alone. Well, that's a bad example. What's a song that uses very few, 10,000 Reasons, right? Bless the Lord, A, O my soul, E, B, O my soul, C sharp. That's it. There's only 4 chords in that key. But how many chords do we have? There's 3 more. So I would actually write at the top of my page, okay, there's a F sharp and a D sharp and a D sharp. So if all else fails, I can use those notes and I'll be a hero, right? They're going to sound good either in transitioning from chord to chord or if I want to slide up to one. Just as a, you know, to punctuate a part, then those notes will work. Okay, so here we are. We're trying to figure out what key we're in. Modal modulation. Let's call this 1. Okay? Though, what else could we call it? Key of G. We got three major chords. Two of them are right next to each other alphabetically. So we can go, well, that's 1, 4, and 5. Oh, that's the 2 chord. But no. Okay, so we have the 1 chord, D, A minor. What's that supposed to be? So we're going to lowercase that V. Okay? C. What's C supposed to be? Okay? 7. So this becomes flat 7. Ah, G's normal. Okay. That's how I would analyze it. Okay? What we've done, essentially, is we are in C, but over all of those chords, we've taken out C, and we've turned it into C sharp, and we've turned it into C. That C now affects A. A no longer has a C sharp. It's no longer major. That C is the third of A. A is now minor. So what we've done is we've said in this song, we're going to change one note, and every chord in the song will be affected by that note. Isn't that cool? Change one note. We've changed that C sharp to C. That has affected this. That's why over that G chord, if it's going to be, if they're going to add a filler note to it or an extension, it's probably going to be a C, right? That's why this sounds so good. Can we sing that again? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Okay, I just added a sus. Now, if I went back and I felt like going back into D, it's going to sound a little weird. Let's try it. 3, 4. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Now, that sounded weird, but that was in the key. But we've already set up an expectation. We've used that C over here. We've used it over here. So because we've used it twice again, it sounds good to use it over that one. Okay. So that would be what I just played with. It was a G sus G. So that is how I would analyze that. 1 minor 5, flat 7 4. Cool, huh? Yes. You're just confusing us now. Oh, yes, you could also say that. What he is saying is he's taken D in the key of G, G, C, D, and you're centering everything around the 5 chord, and yes, that would be mixolydian. Yeah, you could also say that. Trying to think, come praise and glorify, right? You guys played in B flat?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the 5 chord? Come pray. Let's get our key setter. Come pray and glorify our God, the Father of our Lord. In Christ he has in heavenly realms blessings on his poor. So 1 minor 5 4 1. Okay? Great. Okay, let's get to, how much time do we have? Great, 20 minutes. I always get asked about chords. I use them quite a bit. I find them very helpful. And it's actually pretty easy to do. We'll talk about 2 today. What we were talking about before, the modes, you'll find those in the diagrams on the following pages. One says major modal scales over 1, 4, and 5, and then the next page will be minor modal scales over 2, 3, and 6, okay? Open chords, I call them open because there's a large distance between the lowest note and the highest note that you're playing. In fact, it's an interval of a tenth, okay? Okay? And it's a beautiful sound on a bass, right? Because you're one, you're establishing the root, and you're also giving away the quality, right? It could be major or it could be minor. Or we could add a sus. If we're brave and you have long fingers like I don't, you could do the 5th. Burn me. There we go. Got to work for that one. Great. So thirds, this is what I played at the beginning of All I Have is Christ. You guys know that one? Who's played that one before? So that's the secret to this song. Right? Okay. So let's talk about where to find these. Let's go back to G. Yes?
Question. Is that what you're doing on Undone as well?
It was. Okay. Yep. Undone. This is the first time playing it. So it's an E flat, G minor. Nope. E flat, G minor, F, D minor. Yeah. So those were those. Two. Yeah, so I'm playing the lowest note. For a lot of you who play four string, it'll be your E string. And then the third, I'm playing two strings away, or two strings in between, four strings away, okay? So that'll be, the position is, there's one fret difference for a major, no fret difference for a minor, okay? If you want to look at that in terms of, there's our octave rule, and we remember, oh, there's our minor third, major third. Great. These are extremely helpful, especially when there's not a lot going on, or you're playing kind of the low and the high, and then the piano's sitting right in the middle. So you're kind of covering the whole range, that middle part of the keyboard.
The one that's real close, you're skipping and going to the one that's yes. The next octave.
Exactly, because if I play this,
yeah, it'll be muddy.
Kind of muddy. It's because the overtone series. Okay. There's so much information happening with this that that's going to end up sounding muddy. They're clashing. So I take that third up, and the overtones aren't clashing at all. Great way to practice this one. Take a key. I'll do the key of G, and just go, okay, major 1, minor 2, minor 3, major 4, major 5, minor 6, 7. It's fine. I'm not doing a fifth. Don't have to worry about that flat fifth. And back to 1. Work backwards. Yeah. Okay. So those are the open chords. I gave you the major shape and the minor shape. Closed chords, the next page. Call these closed chords because we're getting a little bit closer with our notes. These are not going to be for low notes. So either you would have, let's say, your piano player playing bass, or no lower information. I remember we did this on Oh My Soul Arise. You guys do that one? So we do. Okay, and it's just I'm playing root and third. Okay, so I'm remembering where my roots and fifths and thirds are, and I'm just playing accordingly. I can switch off. Let me actually, you guys have that chart. Let's take that one out. Oh, My Soul Arise. Okay, starts in C. So I'm just going, I'm oscillating between the root and the third. I can just as easily go. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off your guilty feet. Bleeding sacrifice. So I'm reading this for the first time. My surety stands, my name is written on his hand. Okay, so if you have your root, that's kind of where I'm hanging out. I have information that I can play this way. I have my third. So if this is my third, what would this be? Minor third, this would be my second. Okay, I can. That doesn't sound good by itself, but use it as a note to ping pong off of. Okay? I can use my pinky right underneath to play the fourth to bounce off of. Okay? So that's about all I can accomplish this way, kind of centered in third position with my third finger. When I move over this way, I have that fourth still that I can do by smashing my pointer finger, but I also get my, what's this one? Fifth, right? It's not major or minor, okay? And then I can add that one. If I'm brave, I can go for the seventh. So now we're kind of getting into guitar land, right? Okay? But it's beautiful. We're a guitar. Hey. Great. And just know this will take, if we're going to add those additional notes, other than just the third and the fifth, we're going to have to know our key. Because not all those options work over every chord, right? If I'm going to go to the four chord, which is A flat, and I'm in this position, I'm not going to do a fourth here. Because there's no G flat in this key. Sorry, D. There's no D flat in this key. I'm going to add this guy. Make sense? Great. I did this on, what's the new song that we learned this week? We've learned two new songs? Three? What's the one that goes from G to C? What's the one that has the creed in it? We believe, Lord our God is one, Father, Spirit, Son, this is our God. And then for the verses I was doing, Now, it's just two chords, but because of the notes that I'm adding, because I know the key that I'm in, G, I'm going up to C. I know C is the four chord, so I can add that guy. I'm not going to add that guy. Great. Does that make sense? Good. Okay. We're just about out of time. Does anyone have any questions? Did I? Transposition. Let's talk about that. Okay. Transposition. We had an instance today where Devin said we're going to go to the last key. The number system is the way to go on that. Okay. Who's had to do that on a Sunday morning or Saturday night? On the fly, right? Okay. There's no real trick. You have to know your keys, okay? A way to get to know your keys is the circle of fifths, okay? It's that giant wheel that you see in those music theory books, okay? I'll go over it briefly. Does anyone not know what the circle of fifths is? No? Okay. You guys know fat cats going down alleyways eating bananas? No? Okay. Let's go to your packet. I think I put this in. Page two. Yes. Okay. This is the way we go. Here's our circle. Key of C has zero sharps, zero flats. We're going to divide this in half. This will be our sharp side. This will be our flat side. Okay? Fat cats go down highways eating bananas. Okay, that's our sharp. It's our sharp pattern. For flats, we do the exact opposite. Or bead, greatest common factor. Okay. I did that right, right? Great. So in on your bass, if you go up a fifth from C, you hit what note? What note is that? What's that?
G.
So G has one sharp, and that sharp is F sharp. Okay? Let's go up. So I'm going to just put a little five. Okay? Go up a fifth from G. What note do we hit? D. Okay? D's going to have two sharps. So we start here, and we add that guy. So D's going to have F sharp and C sharp. That's why when you look at music and you have the key signature on the left-hand side, you'll see two sharps. You go, I'm in D. I might not be able to read it, but I'm in D because there's two sharps. Okay? And then we go up a fifth from D, and we get to what? A. It's going to have three sharps. F sharp, C sharp, G sharp. Okay? Next is E, F sharp, C sharp. Fat cats go down. Okay? And we can keep going. So that would be your sharp side. G has one sharp, and so on. So our flats, we go down fourths. That's what some people are confused about with a circle of fifths. There's actually a fourths element to it, unless you just want to keep going around the circle. But I always like to make things easier on myself, so I'm just going to go backwards, okay? C, I go up a fourth from C. What do I hit? F. So the key of F is going to have one flat. What's that flat going to be? B flat. Okay, I go up a fourth from F. What do I hit? What's that? B flat, okay? It's going to have B flat and E flat, and so on and so forth, okay? So that's how you get to know your keys, okay? And then from there, if we want to, we can kind of keep this going. And then you would go for each of these. Well, okay, here's my set of ingredients for this key. Here's my set of ingredients for this key. G, A, B. Okay, I could keep going, but does that make sense? That makes sense? Okay. And always remember, because here, I added, okay, there's my one sharp. There's where it falls. The beautiful thing about keys, keep them easy. They're always going to go in alphabetical order, okay? You start in a different spot. We don't have an H in music, right? We start over again at A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. It's that constant circle. So A, B, C, D, E, F, G, we start then over again at A, B, C, D, E, F, G. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C, D. A is the easiest, right? Because you just do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and so on and so forth. Does anyone have any questions on keys? It's a lifetime of memorizing, but if you can get a simple pattern in your head, I'm all about simple, then do this, okay? If you're just looking for more notes to play and you don't want to worry about thirds and fifths, maybe you just want a passing note. Maybe you're on G, and then you go to E minor, and you want to get down to B. That's the next root note that you're going to hit. If you've written on the top of your page all your available notes, you know that you have D and C to use as passing notes to walk down to B. Does that make sense? So that's just a very practical way. It helped me. And at the same time, I was memorizing those keys. So then I wouldn't have to have those written above. I knew in the key of G, oh, I know all my notes in this key. Okay? You've been great. Yes. Any questions? Any other? Great. Well, looking forward to worshiping with you all tonight.